It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Hey guys, listen up. I know these days when you watch the news, it feels like it's one hit after another and it's all bad news for the economy. Well, let me give you some good news. It's not all that bad when it comes to real estate. Let me explain. You see, a year ago, man, real estate was hot, hot, hot. Everybody and their brother was trying to go out and buy another house. What did that mean? It was so competitive that a lot of folks got discouraged. So let me ask you, have you thought about buying a house in the last couple of years, but maybe just couldn't win a bid? I used to hear that all the time. Well, now is the time to buy. Yes, interest rates have creeped up a little bit, but what that's created is an opportunity for you. A year ago, it wasn't uncommon for there to be more than a dozen offers on a home, many of which were over list. That is not the case today. So if you got discouraged once before about trying to buy a new house, now's the time to take another look. Now, yes, interest rates have creeped up a little bit, but you're not going to overpay for the home. But here's what you will do. You'll stop throwing your money away on rent, and now you'll get a greater tax deduction. That's right. You see, at the end of the year, you're going to get a statement from your mortgage company that shows how much interest you paid, and you get to write all of that interest off. That means you could get a huge tax deduction. You never get that as a renter. Not only that, homes are still going up in value. Don't believe the hype. All of the economists believe long-term real estate always works out. Let me give you an example. Maybe way back when, in the housing collapse of 2008, you bought in 2007 and maybe overpaid. Buddy, if you hung in there, that house is worth a whole heck of a lot more now. If you've played in the stock market, you know what I'm talking about. You only lose money when you throw in the towel. Real estate long-term always performs well. So here's my advice to you. Date the rate, marry the house. Find the house that you and your family love long-term, because here's what's not long-term. These higher rates. I've yet to see a single economist who doesn't agree with me that rates are going to return. So doesn't it make sense to get the house you want right now? And then when rates improve, man, just get a lower monthly payment. In the meantime, you'll enjoy a greater tax deduction and that property is going to continue to appreciate, meaning you're building equity and wealth for yourself. Not only that, how about this? We're going to save you some cash at buywithconrad.com. We're going to give you the peace of mind of a 7-year guarantee. When rates improve over the next 7 years, not if, but when, that's my prediction, we'll refinance you again with no new origination points. Think about that. That could save you thousands of dollars and give you the peace of mind of knowing that you got the right house for your family right now. And then when the rates improve, man, get a lower monthly payment. Now, you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this, but you do need to hurry to buywithconrad.com. That's the first step. You tell us how much you want to put down and what you want your monthly payment to be. We get you approved, and then you go shopping just like a cash buyer at buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Seriously, if you've thought about buying a house over the last couple of years, but you got discouraged, now's the time to take another look. Let me run the numbers for you right now. You'll be glad you did at buywithconrad.com.
Woo Wings, a virtual restaurant concept from the man himself, the nature boy, Ric Flair. Enjoy the legendary flavors and world championship wings by ordering with your Uber Eats or Postmates app. Woo Wings is now open in Nashville, San Antonio, Jacksonville, Florida, as well as Huntsville and Tuscaloosa in Alabama, with many more locations coming soon. Try the only chicken wings worthy of carrying the name of the 16-time World Heavyweight Champion. Tell them, Nate.
Wings! Legendary flavors! World Championship wings! Woo! Woo Wings! Yeah! Woo woo! We'll
Welcome to my world with Jeff Jarrett. And yes, it's me, the one and only Clone Rad Thompson, sitting in for Conrad Thompson. I am Cassio. He is under the weather again, Jeff. He just cannot stop shitting his pants. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Oh, I know. We got a potty mouth and a potty britches where you're getting it started. You know, I already miss old Conrad. You know, he starts the podcast, and we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famer anyway. He has a nice
No. We're good. Yeah, we don't. I'm not doing that. We're getting into this.
Cassio.
I'm cussing.
Okay.
Just that one. Because I can't get it all. I do Oh You Didn't Know with your boy Road Dog, which is why we are doing the Road Dog special today.
Yeah.
And he didn't let me cuss either. And so
Does he not? None?
None. So I had to get one in here. This is my outlet. I just had to get one right out of the gate. Now it's behind us. It's kind of like everybody's divorced. You get the first one out of the way, and then you're running, rocking and rolling.
Well, do you think Conrad is saying that right now? He got the first poop out of the way. You'll start kind of sticking with him, right?
I said, are you good? Do I need to fill in? And he just texts back, it's bad.
That's not funny. We're laughing at a poor man sitting on the side of the bed. His poor chili sleep is
it's
a new meaning of chili.
It's a new meaning of chili.
Roll Tide. Roll Tide.
Do you think he's still reeling?
Yes, it is. This is called, you know, you have postpartum depression. This is post-poop depression.
Post-Rocky Top depression.
Post-pootum direction.
You guys laid it on him. Karen brought you new gear. You had the swag out. It was orange, buddy.
Buddy, I'm telling you, and after this past weekend, and look, I got my nice Double J Titan shirt on. Titans got to win. Ball's got to win.
So you had to rub that in my face. You know I'm a Colts fan.
Of course, and you went up 3 weeks ago, and I just beat y'all's britches, you know, at the Colts place.
We right won. There in front of me, and then did it again.
Oh, Doc was all happy. Yeah, me and Cassie are going to watch the game. You want to lay down a wager? Bring it on. Bring it on. So let me ask you.
As we're talking, Matt Ryan just fumbled. As we were talking, he fumbled again. He's a turnover machine.
My question was going to be is, will he make it the rest of the year? Will he finish the season?
You think injury? Are you talking about injury physically, or do you think they'll bench him?
Bench him.
I don't think they'll bench him because I don't think they got anybody. It's not like we have the future guy on the roster. So not like we got to get somebody reps. I think – we just going to ride this out. The Colts struck gold with Phillip Rivers for a couple of years. I mean, he did better than anybody could have imagined on his last couple of years. I think they tried it one more time.
Packers. I saw that Colts and the Packers. Colts had Peyton and Luck and then kind of fell into Rivers.
Yes.
Packers, Favre to Rodgers. That just doesn't happen. And two franchises. And what? They got one Super Bowl in the last. Yeah, here we go. Clone Rad, we got us a topic today, but me and Conrad kind of get things out of the way, and we've got our Bama talk out of the way. I won't talk baseball today, although a lot of news going on there. I won't talk video game today because WrestleQuest is being released Q1. That's going to be a whole big thing.
Is it Q1?
Buddy.
Oh, yeah. I've been hearing y'all talk about this for a while.
I think we're up to 13 awards. No kidding. I'm just a small part of the deal, but yeah, it has taken the video game market. Man, it's crazy. I'm saying this, it's literally taken the video game market by storm. It is something that kind of started. And when you kind of get into the weeds, and again, I wasn't a gamer. I'm not a gamer. I'm the wrestling side of this, but as I've understand the business more and more and just see the success and went over to the Japan convention and won some awards over there. It's WrestleQuest. You wrestling fans out there, this is not a simulation game like a Madden, like a Madden football or something like that. So it's not a WWE 2K type game. It's a storytelling. And this is right up our alley. You know, we here at My World and Conrad's the Podfather. He tells stories through nostalgia. That's what this game is. It's, you know, the IP of Andre the Giant, Macho Man Randy Savage, and the Road Warriors, and Jake, and on and on and on. And it's a story. It's Japanese role-playing. So it's going to be a really cool game. But I can't get – I just – We have our weekly and monthly updating calls, and WrestleQuest is super cool. Coming out Q1 2023 for sure.
For those who have not heard you talk about it, maybe they're fans of Oh You Didn't Know and they're taking a peek at this episode. What platforms is it on? Is it mobile? Is it phone? Is it actual consoles?
All the above.
Everything.
Everything. Get ready, folks. Yeah, it's the downloadable content that are being churned out right now. It's exciting, man. So you gamers out there, listeners of my world, or maybe Oh You Didn't Know, I got to get into the get ready for WrestleQuest. Let me ask you, how is Oh You Didn't Know? All right, folks of my world, they have not migrated, or my old man, Road Dog, Jesse James.
Your boy.
My man, Gerard, you know.
Gerard, is that what you call him?
Well,
what do you call him? Like, if you see him, y'all show up at whatever, Ric Flair's last match, StarCast, y'all walk in, and what do you say? Turkey what up, tail. Dog?
What up, Turkey Tail?
Turkey Tail.
I have no idea.
What is that from?
That's a Brian-ism. I have
turkey
no
tail.
Idea. Hey, Turkey Tail. I have
is
no
it idea. His hair? Was it his dreads? Did he call him the Turkey Tails?
I have no idea. But no, I'll call him that or Brian. I'll call him Brian.
He says Hunter calls him Diggity for Hot Diggity Dog. Have you ever heard that?
I have not heard that.
Yeah. See, I don't ever know what to call him. I call him RD. Is he Brian? Is he Jesse James? The Roadie? We're going to get to all of it. Because
yes.
My man is definitely a topic, a full topic. Oh, you guys have talked to him before. You guys have episodes on him.
Yep.
Go back in the archives and check that out.
Yeah, we've yet to do a full episode. We talked about it when Brian's the actual one because he's a former Marine. He's the actual one that loaded the 357 and the 44 revolver when I held Vince up. Brian was actually one that loaded the gun. Then he had the AK that guarded my bag, and then he served as my sniper on a couple of different occasions. But no,
okay. Yeah.
We've never done a full episode, but we get it. We got pretty in depth there. Obviously, we'll get into some sobriety talk on both of our journeys down that. But what's fascinating, when we had to pivot, and folks, next week we will cover Dixie Carter. That's going to be a two-parter, a three-parter of Conrad. Conrad will steer the ship on that. So we're not real sure because it kind of goes in segments because there's such a long relationship there. But Brian's the same thing. When I look at really our friendship, and it goes super deep, I think it's really the early years. Then it kind of goes into the TNA years. And then you could almost say into the sobriety years. And it's all kind of interwoven. Kid Rock's bus trip, what we may get into here. Maybe Kelly Seafood up around Boston. Brian not being able to hold his liquor. And I should have known that night. You know, I may have a problem with liquor because it never bothered me. And old Brian over there might have should have figured out that, we'll get
into that. This is better than any question I have. I just let you roll and do a highlight film.
But just like how we met, and look, my grandfather and my father work with Bullet Bob. I mean, on my world on social media, we'll post from time to time different cards. And now that my dad's kind of been introduced in the story, some cards, wrestling cards, signage from the 70s. And but when you go back to the 60s, literally our families have worked together since the 60s. And it's, you know, at one time they lived in Nashville, Scott. The oldest of the group went to high school here. Here's a little trivia note. What does Scott Armstrong and Dwayne Johnson have in common?
Dwayne the Rock Johnson? What?
My bad. Do you have someone like a co-host in Huntsville that's like an intern at your radio station named Dwayne Johnson? Of course, The Rock.
So I wanted to make sure. What does Scott Armstrong?
Little footnote that you, this is as my man Dutch Mantel would say, this is goes in the top of the file of useless knowledge.
Okay.
But Scott Armstrong, Dwayne Cassio for clarification, The Rock. The son of Rocky, okay, the grandson of Peter Johnson, who also has a series on NBC. Do I need to make it any clearer, Cassio?
Okay, I got the guy now. I got. Yeah, don't slap me.
Oh,
We got a lot.
I wish we would. That was one of my best slaps too. Look, I'm going to have ADD talking to you. I'm fired up to do this episode. But I hate that Conrad's pooping in his pants. And
okay.
We're going to have fun. But anyway, here's the useless trivia. Scott Armstrong, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, both went to McGavick High School in Nashville, Tennessee for very short stints.
Really?
Yep.
See, this is a small world altogether.
Isn't it though? I mean, it's crazy. And yeah. So that's, but yeah, the Armstrongs lived here for a very short period of time. Rock as well, when they had moved into town, he went to school for just a short period of time. So, yeah. How about that? So yeah, the Armstrongs and the Jarretts go way, 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 way back. And then, you know, they ran their own territory, Knoxville and Gulf Breeze, where the whole crew kind of, you know, Bob's from Marietta. That's where he, you know, Bob and Gail from Georgia, but they set up roots in Gulf Breeze right down there by Pecola, also known as Pensacola. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brian's still down there.
Hey, talk about while we're here and because we've mentioned it on Oh, You Didn't Know. He laughs about it, but talking about Bob Armstrong, I mean, he always says, hey man, he was big in the South, but talk about just how big Bob Armstrong was. I mean, he was incredibly over. Over ain't even the word. He was just
trying to think how to really, because it was such a different era. And, you know, have you caught Tales of the Territories? You caught any of those episodes?
Not yet. I'm behind.
Okay. But anyway, that show, I think, does a real good job that kind of clarifies for the folks. That's what I've gotten a lot of feedback off that show, that people who really came into wrestling maybe in the 90s, maybe the Attitude Era, that heard, you know, obviously knew wrestling was around in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, but didn't understand like what a territory was, and that show's doing a good job. So Bob was that he was a regional, a territory superstar, but he was like a megastar. I mean, he was a Hulk Hogan, he was a Stone Cold, he was a John Cena of the territory. And he was so good at his trade and his craft. Man, I'm just trying to think. You caught me a little off guard. I wasn't thinking I was going to, but his authenticity, his ability, and look, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Scott, Brad, Steve, Brian, they're all phenomenal workers, storytellers. From a verbal sense, and I think the brothers, and even if Brad was alive, would agree. Brian by far has the best verbal skills, but in ring skills, they could all tell stories. Bullet could do both. I mean, he could talk them into the building like none other. He looked great. He worked out daily into his late years until he got really sick. Yeah. He was in the gym, so he took care of his body. Worked his ass off. He was just a megastar. And look, he, you know, part owner of a territory of Southeastern that promoted really from Knoxville down to through Birmingham and even down to the panhandle of Florida. So the Bullet was the man, and his place in WWE Hall of Fame is big time, rightfully deserved in so many ways.
With, you know, I'm from Northeast Alabama, and so buddy, when you talk wrestling to my dad's generation and anybody before, he's on the short list of favorite wrestlers. Bob Armstrong is going to be in the discussion. I mean, it starts with him. So, I mean, like you said, it's hard to, if you weren't in the territory, it's hard to explain how big he was, but he was it. He was so it.
Look, and I in the TNA years, and we may or may not get to that today, but you know, Bullet was effective with being a figurehead commissioner, or I mean, you know,
an arm wrestling competition
in his 60s. I mean, come on. I mean, he's super effective, but in his prime, and I've heard stories, not just from my dad and my grandfather, but different talent about, oh, you know, they always refer to, oh, the Bullet, man, he could do A, B, and C. And remember when we did that angle and we were hoping for a good house, we turned him away. he was box office. And at the end of the day, that's what the industry is about. You can be a good in-ring performer. You can have a great promo skill. You can do this and that, all kind of, you know, in this era, you can have all kind of five-star accolades or whatever it may be. Bullet drew money. And that's the most important thing in the industry. Bullet could put butts in seats. Speaking of butts, how do you think Conrad's is right now?
Wet.
I'm going to hammer him all day today.
I'm here for it, buddy. Look,
you know what? I've gotten a lot of feedback off light. That's another thing me and Conrad do. You know what the resounding, overwhelming feedback that we got from last week?
What?
Oh, Conrad was prepared for you, Jeff. He just had fun with it and just kind of wasn't upset or angry. Mm-hmm. And oh, jolly, golly gee whiz, what a great football game it was and all nicey nice. Mm-hmm. I said, Conrad's a working son of a gun.
We know him.
Deep in his crawl, he was furious. Oh, I was down in Triple Mania. I was in Mexico. I got to eat good food. And yeah, him and Dave Green got the same bug. See? Yeah. And he won't act like Alabama. So I'm going to just pound on him all episode.
Buddy, please this don't, you're usually pounding me when I'm near Jarrett. So pound Conrad this time.
How's Jarrett, your boy Corey?
Is he how's my what?
Your boy Corey.
That he's little, hurting. He's still tough. You smashed little, him.
Oh, what a wimp. Complete wimp. He moved.
You gave him the stroke.
Oh, he moved on the guitar shot, folks.
He flinched.
Explain who Corey is for the non-my world.
Corey Ryan Forrester is part of a comedy group, one of our buddies. He's done a lot of our events. He hosts Happy Hour with Rebel on adfreeshows.com. And we were at Top Guy Weekend, and, we were doing a promo show where we're making fun of old wrestling promos, and he started talking about his Nana never was a fan of you. And then spouted off about Karen Jarrett and had some really harsh words about Karen.
Yes.
And now me and Karen's always getting along.
No, you haven't.
Well, we weren't slapping territory until that weekend. And she was all heated at Corey. And because I got in between them to tell him to stop. And I caught another slap, my second Jarrett slap. If I could get your dad to slap me, I'll have the Holy Trinity.
We'll get to it in a minute, but Cody said you're next. It's not maybe a goal thing.
Cody's already got Harvey ready. Should we do tag team? You're reffing. Are you reffing?
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh.
I'll tag with Cody. Oh no, Cody wants to see. I'll tag with Hermie. Cody and Karen can take us on.
Okay.
You're going to be jaded.
Oh, too much.
Look, me and you is going to go all over the board here.
I
apologize. Conrad's pooping his pants. We have poop of the mouth. We have diarrhea of the mouth. We're going to be all over the board here, but we're having fun. You talked about Jarrett's and Armstrong's doing business for, I don't know, 50 years. Did you and you and Road Dogg spend a lot of time together, traveling up and down these roads, spent a lot of times in hotel rooms together. Did you guys ever discuss, I don't know, pitfalls, advice, whatever the case may be, about being a next generation, a second generation, third, whatever it may be in y'all's case, but a generational family in wrestling and what it's like breaking into the business with, you've already got your family established in the wrestling business?
So I'll kind of give you a set point. Maybe this is a diving off point that'll help you understand Clone Rad. I'll take the first time I met Brian, and this is what's kind of ironic, is that Steve Armstrong, Brad Armstrong, Scott Armstrong all worked for my dad. I don't want to say a lot, but they small bits and pieces, you know, in the territory era, if you will. I started in April of 86, you know, as the territories winded down. So I started, and Brian entered the Marines about that time, not about 87, 88. He did his stint. So the first time I ever met Brian was in Lowell, Massachusetts, the day of his tryout for WWF. because our families had worked together, but you know, he had got into the business just a little bit and then went off and we'll talk.
93.
So 93, yes, my bad. Was
it 93, right?
Fall of 93. No, my bad. Fall of 94.
Okay, 94.
The Double J character debuted at the end of 93. You know, had the I'll call it, you know, as Vince McMahon said, Jeff, we're going to put you out on the road for a year and you're going to get over and we're going to get you over and blah, 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 blah. And so it rolled along and I worked from Bob Backlund to Bob Holly to Doink. Just a number of opponents. We did the Survivor Series, whereas I was with Kevin and Sean and Owen and Neidhart. That 94 run was just out essentially kind of getting wins. But the Double J singing character, Vince had a vision in his brain that he wanted to, all right, how do we take this to the next level? I think whether you want to, I don't say divine interview. Yeah, but I mean, it was meant to be. Brian had, you know, done some jobs in WCW. He just wanted his break and they flew him up for a tryout. And Brian tells the story better than I do, but they asked him to sing and he just, as you know, I think Brian is one of the most talented individuals, not just in the industry, one of the most talented individuals I've ever met. He is, you know, if you ever seen Jerry Lawler draw, you just go, okay, nobody taught him that. He just is super mega talented creatively. Brian's the same way. From a creative, artistic, you know, ask Brian to figure out how to go two blocks down the street on a one way. He ain't good with directions. There's a other few good things he's not good with, but from a creative perspective, I think he's one of the most talented individuals. And I've had some people in the music industry say the exact same thing, like, damn, that dude's talented. Anyway, but he came up, sang, did a tryout, Vince and others, Bruce and Pat, the WWE office said, that's our guy. We're going to put him with Double J as the roadie. That's how we met. And me and Brian, because of our, and I'm going a long way around. You're going to find out, Clone Rad, that you ask me what time it is, I'll tell you how to build a watch. So I'm going.
I've been warned. I've seen some episodes.
But I'm giving you an answer. Let me give you a deposition.
I didn't stop you. I want all of it. I love it. Anyhow,
when we met, it's almost like there was an immediate kinship. We didn't have to go through any kind of warm up as little children to come. I mean, we hit it off big, just from the very beginning, had a very good relationship, open relationship that we just talked about any and everything. And, you know, those days. And I the first night I said, hey man, who you staying with? He said, I ain't got a room yet. I said, just stay with me. We shared a room the very first night and I'll never forget this. I tell this story and I've told it a couple of different times. So, BS before sobriety, believe it or not. Yeah. Cassio, I like to sleep in, stay up late, but I would sleep in. But when I woke up, feet on the ground, I had my routine, gym, eat good. The wrestler washing machine. It's rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat.
What's sleeping late? Noon?
It depended upon, like, on the road, if you didn't have a flight, 10 o'clock? I mean, but, you know, 10, 11, you know, what sleep as long as I could. Let me put
not whenever
you.
They're going to kick you out of the hotel.
There you go. If there you know, go. Go to the next stat, yes. Because, I, you know, again, the rinse and repeat car wash that we had to do out on the road. But I can remember like 6:30 the first night we stayed together. And I'm sure we stayed out at least till the hotel bar closed, but it's like, it felt like 4 in the morning, but you know, 6:37 in the morning, I'm kind of rolling around in bed and get up to use the bathroom and lay back down. And I kind of did the double take. I'm like, did I just see Brian? He's not in his bed. And I look over there, Cassio, and he's sitting down in this hotel chair by the little, you know, the bed's already, oh, I forget this. The bed is made up.
Oh,
the bed is made.
Oh,
he's sunk down in his chair. He's got his hands crossed And he's sitting there like this, and he just kind of rocking, just kind of thinking and kind of thinking. I'm thinking, what the hell is he doing over there? And I said, dude, you okay? Yeah, I don't want to wake you. Okay. I rolled over and went back to sleep. Then all of a sudden I roll back over and he gets up. I'm going to go smoke a cigarette. He would leave the room, go smoke a cigarette and come back. He didn't wake me up. He just kind of, so it was just funny. That was, but then as we got into the routine, he was just wired that way from military and, you know, he was an early riser. Now things changed through the years, but, and you know, and he was up. I mean, his body clock woke him up and he sat over in that chair and, yeah, that was
made the bed,
but buddy, you ought to see him make a bed. You ever seen Road Dogg make a bed?
No,
bounce a quarter off of it. The Marine upbringing, you know, and I would be fascinated at the different stories that I would hear from Brian, and I would ask him, and you know that he held the American flag at President Bush's inauguration.
He's mentioned that. I think we're going to have a future military episode, because every now and then he'll do just like a headline of a story. I'm like, wait,
telling you need to do it. I will listen to that start to finish. The longest inauguration speech in history. And he stood at attention holding the flag. There's some great stories. He called the cadence of his, I always get it wrong, but his troop and with his rhythm and him singing in the cage. I mean, there's, you know, he was in the Gulf War, but I'll leave all those stories to him. But man, it's his Marine career. And I'll leave with this. You talk about there are no coincidences in life, only convergences. So Bullet Bob has four kids. Only one, Brian, goes into the Marines. Bob graduated boot camp in the Carolinas. Brian graduated boot camp in the Carolinas 25 years to the day.
Whoa.
Exactly 25 years apart.
That's pretty incredible.
It is. I'm telling you, just the whole James gang is super fascinating. When Bullet passed away, I drove down to his funeral and just being there and kind of processing everything that goes with, you know, this great man is no longer with us. But I just thought to myself, wow, what a unique, blessed individual. The Bullet, really cool. But yeah, he started everything, started from a fireman in Marietta, Georgia.
Fighting fireman. speaking of Marine Corps, real quick. First of all, it takes a special person to be a Marine. That's facts, and everybody should know that. Do you know many other former military in the wrestling business?
Oh, there's, you know,
is there a bunch? Is it more than we realize? Probably.
Yes. There definitely is. Yes. There is.
Think it helps or hurts in any way or indifferent, maybe different individuals.
Well, I think
you saw him making the bed. Anything else you saw in the business, maybe that you go, that's that military in him.
I mean, military, I've never been in, but the whole foundation of a regiment and a schedule and accountability and everything that goes with that, I think it serves life well. So yes. And you know, Brian, I think this is why he's such a good teacher. Again, I've talked about his talent, but Brian's teaching ability at this stage of his career, I don't really know of, and I'm not saying nuts and bolts and moves, but the big picture, I mean, literally the canvas of being a professional wrestler, Brian is very, very good at it. And I think one of the reasons he is, yes, he's creative, but also he was super teachable. I mean, when we got together, you didn't tell Brian anything twice. First time he got it and he made it his own and he made it better. So I think the military upbringing and other guys, you know, understanding that you have to take orders. And in our business, the artistic side of it, you better take orders, kind of stay within the boundaries, but make it your own and make it better. Brian was not good, but great at that.
You mentioned you never met him until the tryouts at WWF back in the day. Did you, I know you knew of the family, of course, like you said, you guys have been intertwined, but did you ever see any of his matches? Did you ever hear about him? Did you ever, were you having an event? Nothing. You knew nothing basically of him as a wrestler before that day.
It's been within the last, I mean, there's some clips that I've saw, I'll call it recently in the last couple, the social media has brought out some Smoky Mountain clips that I just crack up, but I go, this guy, you know, this may be promo 3 in his career and it was great. He had verbal skills, but growing up in that family, you know, a lot of people may not even know they all can sing and dance. I mean, Scotty, Brad had it, Scott, Stevie, they all have rhythm. They all have a good voice. And Bullet, you know, part of his shtick was kind of silly dancing. I won't call it Bad to the Bone, George Thorogood. So folks don't know that was
just woogie dancing. Yeah. Just
the group. But, you know, so just kind of the legendary part of it, but no, I had never seen anything. And, you know, obviously I wasn't a tape trader and pre-social media. So I had never seen anything. Of course I had seen, Brad on TV. I probably had seen Scotty and Stevie, on WCW, but just no, had no clue of Brian's in-ring ability whatsoever when I met him.
You saw the tryout, you thought, but hey, this guy's got something and hey, this is perfect timing for this character. But when did you realize, okay, he gets it? Was there a moment where you thought, man, this clicks? I
remember when we shook hands, what was kind of bizarre, I'm like, damn, Stevie and Scotty and Brad ain't this big. I mean, Brian is bigger than all of them. It's like the milkman slid in somewhere. No, sure.
You can say that. I can't. I ain't that close a boy with him. No,
Brian is bigger than all three of the other brothers. So just, I guess I should say the simple, I had a strong feeling his father's in the industry and a legend and all three older brothers. There's a pretty good chance this guy's got it, but when they put us together and said, hey, he's going to be your roadie. And then I'm like, okay, how's this going to work? And I mean, I think it was actually Bruce Prichard said, hey, Brian, go talk to people here on the crew, like literally the WWF production, and kind of, they work music and kind of just bend their ear on different things about being a roadie. And I mean, it was like night one, Cassio, he comes back and he says, hey, Jeff, I got this pin light, like a little bitty flashlight. I'm like, oh, that cool. He's going to lead me, you know, that's all roadies have, the pin light. And then he put this do-rag on, this bandana, and pulled it down and kind of dressed like that. And then he says, I know we can't have it now, but I'm going to get kind of a vest of a leather stick and all this, because you've got all this bright lights and fancy stuff and all this. I'm going to go down and dirty, black and white. And he goes, I got to get a hat. I'm like, well, that do-rag looks good. And he said, well, I mean, he had 1,000 ideas day one and day two and day three. But, you know, just the thing, as I would walk to the ring and he would, like, he's holding people back. The subtleties of all that. That was heat. It's like, dude, you're going down a wrestling entrance. There are no folks that got to get your guy. But Brian played it to the tilt and then helping me up the steps with the pin light and in the ring. And just, it just really, as you can tell, I love those days. They clicked immediately. I remember things with such a smile on my face, because I knew the Double J character had rolled along about a year. And I knew, oh man, this is great stuff. And I knew Vince liked it. Most importantly, I definitely don't want to dismiss this. Knowing it feels good going through the curtain and at ringside and hearing the crowd response, but coming back through the curtain and knowing that Vince had a smile on his face and an idea, and Bruce and Pat and whatever it may be, it was like, okay, they're definitely going with this even further.
It's fun to hear you describe it, because he almost did the exact same story of, he was told, go scout the guys that are working. And he said he sat up in the upper deck, or, you know, just one of the seats, empty arena, and just watched him and started going, all right, they all got bandanas for some reason. I don't know why they got this. I need something hanging out of my pocket. Yeah. He said night one, he had that whole notes and was ready to go. That's fascinating to me.
And look, it's because I just said he's so teachable. They just said, hey, man, go do this. Now, Bruce or Vince or Pat, they had no idea what they wanted. But when Brian came back and had the checklist, they're like, yep, yep, yep.
Incredible.
We love it.
What do you remember him? You said he's very teachable. Do you remember anything that stood out that he asked for or advice early on, maybe as you guys are, he's getting experience under his belt? Or do you think he was just a guy that kind of watched and learned and took everything in?
He got everything, but and I've told this story a couple of times. We did a series of matches, and so that was in 94 was when we got together in 94. So the spring of 95, it was me and Sean with Road Dogg in our corner against Scott Hall and Kevin Nash. And to me, it's some of the greatest matches I've ever been a part of. And it was, you know, we went to C-Town, maybe a 20 or 25 minute, but we went in the garden one night, 30, 35, 40 minutes. We've had Boston Garden. We did that loop around quite a bit. And I don't think I've ever, I'd love to, I'm sure it can be challenged on social media and in my career and thought through. But I don't think so. And I'm just trying to think of anything else, but I don't think I've ever been a part of a match with five guys and Brian being obviously my roadie or second or whatever you want to call him, vernacular wrestler, manager, whatever, that Brian played as an important part of that match as any of the other four of us, because he was a part of the story. He took from the time I came out, he got heat or we got heat, but he was a part of the shine spots up top. He was a part of the heat spot. During the heat, he was either a distraction or took an ass whooping or got heat on Razor or whatever it may be. And then of course, in the comeback, he would feed in and this and that. I mean, he was a part of that match that you just don't really find. And it was not overdone or underdone, but that's talent. I mean, you just cannot give that role to somebody who doesn't have the right mannerisms. And when Brian, I'll call it disappear at ringside, just kind of, okay, let Scott and Sean do their thing. Let them do their thing for two or three minutes. And I'd just kind of stand still on the corner and Brian would almost slink into obscurity where we didn't want the people watching us. A lot of managers or seconds outside, they think they need to get the attention the entire match, or they think they don't need whatever. Brian's timing is awesome. I mean, really, really good.
You know what? Sometimes, Jeff.
Yeah.
Problems creep up in the bedroom and you might not can do that thing like you're supposed to do that thing.
You're going to get slapped.
I'm not saying specifically you, but if that, you know, you got to know your role and you got to be confident performing your role, whatever role you're given. And if the confidence is not there in the bedroom, it could start creeping up in everyday life. So you got to get that confidence back. And that's why we are proud to be brought to you by our friends at Blue Chew. It's especially true in the bedroom when it comes to confidence. When it's time to step up to the plate, when it's time to be ringside, you better be ready to get the hot tag. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead. If you get up in the morning and it's 6 a.m. and you've already made the bed and you want to go there, or you can just be ready whenever an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online. So no visit to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Jeff, when the package has arrived, your package has arrived.
I'd say Conrad's not being, I don't think he has a discreet package right now. Poor Megan. Poor Megan. Do you think she's survived so far?
Yeah, she's probably quartered him off in a separate floor.
Blue Chew can, overcome a lot of obstacles.
Yes. A lot of them.
I don't think he can overcome Conrad's situation right now.
No. If they're delivering Blue Chew to his front door, hopefully some more gym shorts are attached to it, because he's probably ruined a few today. That's called, look, they always say first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? If you've pooped your pants, that's a lasting impression. So we need Blue Chew. He needs more. He needs shorts. We need Blue Chew. So it's time to get off the couch and get back to work. Head to BlueChew.com. If you can benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it and have better sex. And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code MYWORLD at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com. Promo code MYWORLD to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring MYWORLD.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
Now let's get back into Road Dogg's world. Jeff, we've mentioned it a little bit. Let's talk just about the Armstrongs real quick. What can you tell us about Brad, Steve, and Scott? Maybe you hadn't mentioned Brad. Has always talked about how good of a worker. Brian said it before. I mean, Brad could wrestle around him light years, but just talk about how good, maybe for those that might not have seen Brad Armstrong go, how good was he?
Great.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll kind of say this as diplomatically as I possibly can. Brad was really, really good. Great. But I think sometimes people lose a sight of, oh, he's, you know what? Scotty and Stevie were really, really good too in their day. I mean, really good. And Brian, just because of his creativity and the DX invasion, and, you know, they just celebrated DX. And I've said it in 98, 99. I've said it in 2009. I'll say it forever. I think Brian was the most talented member of DX from a creative perspective. But I also, you go back and watch different matches. I don't think Brian gets enough credit for his in-ring skills. Now, is he going to do a Hurricane Rana? No. We had a series of matches in USWA when we both held Vince up. But no, when we walked out on that, we did a couple, multiple loops around Memphis and Nashville. Anyway, we had some really good matches. And again, Brian's a storyteller, but all the Armstrongs could tell stories. They were all really good in the ring. I think Brad stands out for multiple reasons in that he was that TBS guy that got the opportunity and got to be seen much more widespread than any of the Armstrongs, more than Stevie and Scotty. I think timing as well. Also think that when you look at Brad, you cannot help but think of Bullet.
Yeah.
They're and they all got bullet in them. But when you see Brad move around in the ring, I mean, how do you not say, oh, it's a young bullet? Yeah. But, you know, more athletic. Again, each generation gets a little bit more athletic, a little bit, you know. So Brad, and rightly so, he gets a lot of the flowers through the years. But also, a lot of times, and I think that's the my nature of the man, said, no way, he's great. But Stevie and Scotty could flat out, they all could work really, really good.
Did you, I don't take Brian out of the equation. Did you spend the most time with Scott and Steve?
No. Oh, Brian by far.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, that was a rare. Yeah. I mean,
Brian out of the equation, who'd you spend the most time with
out of those three?
Yeah. After Brian,
probably Stevie. Probably Stevie.
Let's go back to, when you talked about the official hitting off period.
Hold on. Cause Scotty was in, Scotty refereed in the early days of TNA. Yes. So probably Scotty. And yeah, I don't know. So
it's fun. Such a long career for all of you guys. So many different iterations and organizations. You go, I forgot about the whole TNA run and everything.
And another little footnote. My dad was a huge Brad Armstrong fan. And you know how
you
have different folks through the careers. And of course, my dad, I guess you could say when he put on his Booker hat, he's like, man, I would have done A, B, C, D, you know, like I wish he could have worked under, you know, Brad was my old man's kind of guy. Not Robert Gibson, but older brother, Ricky Gibson. Ricky Gibson. I'm just trying to think of some others that come to my mind. You know, Bill Dundee, a little lesser degree. Bill was a brawler, not as much of a wrestler, but Bill could wrestle. But my dad loved guys that in their DNA was in-ring wrestler. And then he would bring out of them the personality and the street fights and, oh man, he's really mad and all this. But dad loved the athletic type that Brad was. And he was like a dream talent from old man.
You talked about wrestling and he loved wrestling. I'd like to bring this up and get your take on it because Dog says it a few times, at least almost once every pod. His quote is wrestling doesn't draw a dime. And his premise is that everything else around it is what actually draws the money. You got to get over, you got a storyline, promo, characters. What's your thoughts on wrestling doesn't draw a dime? I mean, can you see what he's trying to say?
Do
you agree with it?
No, I don't. I don't. Okay. Here's why. Wrestling is our foundation. Go try to have a house without a foundation. It falls down. So the whole foundation, I believe, of our industry is the cinder blocks that you don't really see. Now, why do houses sell? Great kitchen. I love the master bath.
Yeah.
Love the master bedroom. Oh my God. Did you see those lighting fixtures? Well, guess what? You pull the electricity out that's built into your foundation, you have nothing. So I get where Brian's going. I totally understand that and all that. But the foundation, and here's where, you know, to bring into old Double J, I like to use the analogy. What makes a number one hit, Cassio? Is it the song or the singer?
It's tough. Like, I think you got to have both.
So
there's some stupid songs, but
let me ask the
singer can get it over.
And vice versa. There's some songs written that are so good that are remade by three or four artists and they all go to number one.
Yes.
The next song is incredible. And then on the other hand, you like Taylor Swift is a great, I'm trying to get something more relevant, but you know, Taylor is a great songwriter, but not all of them are perfect, but you get somebody as hot as she is or Harry Styles, if you want to get into a different, whatever genre you want, there's some artist out there that, I mean, in our industry, Hulk was so hot at one time, it didn't matter who you put in the ring with him. Stone Cold was red hot. It didn't matter who you put in the ring with him. John Cena was red hot. Didn't matter who his opponent was. They were selling the tickets. So song of the singer, but then You got to have the marketing. I used to.
Yeah.
It created me.
Well, I'm in radio. There's a lot of politics in music. A lot of behind the scenes politics. It's
all politics.
Phone calls. Hey.
It's all politics, which is marketing.
Yes.
In our business, it's all. I mean, look, you can have a great storyline and a great talent. If they're not on Monday Night Raw or AEW Dynamite on Wednesday, it's irrelevant because you don't have the marketing push behind it. So,
yeah,
it's good talk. I bet. Let me just pump the brakes here. I bet Brian says some things on his podcast that you go, whoa. Can you repeat that?
Well, you know, he got heat for saying that wins and losses don't matter.
Who did he get heat from?
All Twitter. I mean, Twitter give you heat on anything, but fans in particular. And
they gave him a lot of blowback.
Well, his point was, if you're over, I mean, if John Cena goes out and loses, he's already over. And you don't quit being a John Cena fan because he lost to so-and-so.
Yeah.
Now, you know, whether it's built in, you know, Goldberg's whole thing was wins. So, you know what I mean? And there's with it now in AEW, people talk about the Wardlow winning streak and whether they did that too soon. So yes, it can come into play, but that his point was he's got a losing record. He was pretty over, you know, in the business. He's did pretty good without having a winning record in wrestling.
Oh, for sure. It's art.
Yeah.
It's objective.
I don't know anybody's win loss record. I don't know anybody's. Do you know yours? You probably do.
Knowing you.
Yeah, you know yours. What is it?
You really think that?
Yeah, I think you know your win-loss record.
Zero clue.
Do you think it's a winning record?
Zero chance. Zero, zero, zero chance.
While we're talking and you're telling one of your stories, I'm gonna have it. I'm going to look it up while we're doing.
Didn't do that, Mr. Google Machine.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna throw into.
I can assure you, it even in the young baby face days that you build a baby face by giving him wins, including my Tennessee upbringing, I am positive I have a losing.
Okay. Brian has discussed his getting hired by the WWF as your roadie on our show, of course, but the combination of you and Brian is one of the more underrated combinations in WWF history, I believe. I know you were excited, but you talked about it. You hinted at it earlier. You thought this was perfect timing for your character to get that extra boost. Didn't kind of know where it was coming from, but you even felt, hey, we need something here. Is that right?
We were rolling along, and I know that we were on a trip one night, and Scott Hall just kind of let it out like, hey, Double J, I've got word. Me and you are dancing next. And I'm like, come again? he said, yeah. He said, because we had a couple of matches in late 94, but he's like, no, we're going to start working a program. I'm like, right on. And that was about the time that Brian was, you know, tryout and on board, because Brian was right at the end of 94. I think his first night out was I was wrestling Davey Boy Smith, and he calls to count out or something along those lines. But just the timing of it all. And look, I had teased that I was going to sing live. I had teased for a year, not just on TV and at live events. I'm going to sing tonight, folks. Nope. My voice is cracking. I sang too much last night in the practice that, and then somebody would interrupt. I just teased and teased and teased and teased. I knew, all right, we got to get through this. Either I need to sing and people hate it, or sing and the people like it. Which way are we going to steer this thing? And when Brian tried out and you know, he sang at his tryout, I'm like, this is going to be gold. You hear Brian, he can sing anything. Country.
He sings every time we start the show. He's already got music playing. He's singing nonstop.
Yeah.
Beautiful. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You said you were close. You said you hit the road and you just said, hey, come join the road with me. Was it, I mean, when was the, did you ever have heat? Did you ever in the middle of it go, hey, this might not be working? Or was it a good run for a long time?
Let me think of
that's pretty deep. As long as y'all have known each other, you're having to dig for first time, y'all had some major heat.
I, he's probably cussed me when he worked for me, who hasn't their breath. You know, I have always, since the day I met him, I want to be around Brian or want him a part of what I'm doing. And that's been rung true from day one. But I mean, I think an early story that illustrates kind of our bond was, and he'll tell you this, I don't know if he's told you the story, but the night in Nashville in your house, I sang, you know, Brian's song, but lip sync, if you will, and went out and had the match with Sean, and they had the finish. And I won't get into all the stuff that, hey, Vince, I think it's too early. It's this, it's that. I knew that I didn't want to go forward with any of that. Brian had, you know, done his deal and all this, but literally Brian pulled my foot. I spun around into the super kick. Sean super kicked me, top me, 1, 2, 3, Shawn Michaels hand raise, get the belt, celebration. They leave. Then me and Brian came in and stood over me, and we were supposed to do the angle right there where we were going to split up. That's when Vince wanted the angle shot, right there in the ring. And I stayed flat on my back. And I told Brian in the ring, Brian, you do not have to do this. You do not have to leave with me, but I'm done and I'm leaving. I'm not getting up and shooting the ankle. And he knew that before we went to the ring. And I said, I don't have to do it. And he said, F that, I'm with you every step of the way. He didn't have to do that. Now there's extenuating circumstances, and that's that, but he said that in the ring, and we walked to the back of the ring and walked down the steps, and Rene Goulet's chasing Brian, road day, and Double J, what are you doing? I grabbed my bags, and 1, 2, 3 kid was like, what the hell's going on? Anyway, me and Brian, I wonder if he'll say this, ask him. I don't think we've ever had a cross word in reality. I mean, that says a lot for a 30-year friendship. But I mean, even in the days, when he got sober and he went over to India, he did tryouts there as far as Rinka King, and then the TNA days before that. No, I don't think we've really ever had a cross word.
That's amazing, man.
It is.
You mentioned extenuating circumstances when you two walked out on Vince. I assume you're mentioning part of it, the soon to be failed drug test you've mentioned before. Was in a serious kind of moment, because we're going to get into it, I imagine, at some point, but just on the surface, was that the first time you realized he may have an issue with the demons, or were you too involved in your own things to realize that at that time? You had a lot of things going on in your life. Was that a red flag to you at that point, or was that later down the road maybe you noticed it?
And I've said this, and I've had this conversation, I can't tell you how many times, I had no idea. Well, I certainly didn't know that addiction was a disease of the brain. I had zero clue. I didn't even really give it a second thought about demons. I thought an alcoholic was somebody who lived under a bridge. Brian's not that. He's got a job and he's super talented and this and that. And you know, what I know now versus what I knew back then, I truly thought Brian just don't give a F. I mean, yeah. He's going to, you know, he's a outlaw biker. I'm going to do things my way or the highway. Test me all you want. I don't care. I mean, I literally thought, and I was into alcohol, but you know, that wasn't on our test list. So, but I never really correlated that. Okay. I just knew that he did, but he did. I chalked it up as not a demon. It's that he's going to do things his way.
Yeah. That wasn't an issue to you. That was just like, okay, well, fine.
Not in the
moving on. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I guess if you would have had to have like, all right, Jeff, pump the brakes. You're however old I was at the time. Why do you think he continues to smoke dope? I would have said, because he likes to smoke dope and doesn't care. Doesn't care if he loses his job or not. I
think that's for everybody, especially your friends. You go, nothing's wrong with him. What are you talking about?
Yeah. What are you talking about?
We like to party. We're having fun. That's it.
Now the insanity part is the break that both of us had on top in the biggest wrestling organization in the world, both in our 20s, both in this, you know, a championship. I mean, working at Madison Square Garden and London and all this. I don't know. I'm going home and Brian's followed me.
And now you've cost him so much money in his career that he's having to do a podcast with me every single one.
Oh, shoot. That's a blessing. Are you kidding me? I loved it when I heard you guys. Yeah, I told you that to your face. When I heard you guys up, I'm like, that is going to be one funny, entertaining podcast.
You've mentioned it before. You mentioned the USWA time. And if you haven't already, be sure to check out the episode of USWA versus Smoky Mountain, where Jeff and Brian are the top two acts in that feud. It's one of my favorites. Jeff, when you're able to work with Brian night after night like you did, you've talked about, hey, he doesn't get enough credit for his in-ring wrestling skills. You get to suit up with him night after night here. He's never remembered for his matches, but he could go when he wanted to, I would imagine. I mean, and you got to see that up close and personal. I know you knew he could go, but in this time, was it he's a little better than I thought? What was this like going night in, night out with him?
So, obviously, when we worked in WWF, he was my second.
Yeah.
It's a whole different kettle of fish when he's taking the lead as a heel and I'm the babyface, because that was a story in Tennessee in USWA. I was the babyface and he was the heel. Smoky Mountain, and obviously we used Roadie and Road Dog and how all that kind of went together. And that was really the very genesis of that Road Dog character. But I was just like, damn, we're rolling. I mean, it's from a territory perspective, he wasn't just another match. And I had worked with so many people in Tennessee. I mean, you name it, all kinds. At this point, Undertaker had been through, Stone Cold had been through, Godfather had been through, Steiner had been through. Talent after talent after talent of guys that had come through the territory and then gone off to the big major companies. And then I was working with Brian. I'm like, this guy just ain't good. He's great. He could get heat. And that's kind of what we just went back on, you know, the song or the singer or wrestling doesn't draw. Brian knew that it doesn't matter what high spots me and Jeff do. I got to get heat where the people want to pay money for Jeff to kick my ass, and he could do it.
Yeah, that goes into, he jokes all the time, he's not a 5-star guy, he's a 2.5-star guy all the time. Every time we read the Observer, they're just crapping all over him. But I think it's what you're saying. You don't have to have flashy high spots or be a chain wrestler to have a great match with somebody. And he is the epitome of that guy. If I'm going to have a match with him, I know we're going to get to the end and have a good match.
Now, let me ask you something, just to get a little on topical deal. What is the hottest thing in AEW right now?
The hottest thing? I don't know. What do you mean? Oh, Cizren. Yeah. Oh, with his boy.
Okay. Well, my point being, it's very obvious to me. You can't call it. Well, yeah. Billy Gunn. Yeah. I was going to say almost couldn't
drop. No, yeah. He still, yeah.
Has a unique talent of playing. I don't want, this is the cause there's a real skill set, the secondary role, the acclaimed guys are the lead. They're the tag team, but the three of them together, it certainly has nothing to do with hip tosses and hurricanranas and 5-star the scissor me. It organically popped out. Suck It, DX, Crotch Chop, NWO Too Sweet, all these entertaining. That's what Brian is a creator of.
Yeah.
I'm saying all that to say, yes, Brian, that's where the money's at. And our USWA run, Brian could make little magical moments in our matches that obviously weren't talked about in the back. He just knew how to get heat and at the right time, at the right place to make my comeback mean something even more than as we had laid out.
He's said many times that, when you were making moves, where you were going to leave, when you were going to hold them up, whatever the deal may be, that you had such a business mind that you just kind of told him the plan, that you were ahead of him. You might've told him early on, but you already had the plan. Did you have any hard feelings when he returned to WWF as Real Double J? Was that just business? Did he even bounce it off of you, or what's that like? What do you hear about that when it happens?
I was tickled to death because the reality of the fact was I'm the one that wanted to leave. I didn't want to cost him a penny. Yeah. And so he left with me out of loyalty. And then as we were going down that road, it's pretty well documented. I went to WCW. He wasn't getting a WCW paycheck like me. So I was, hell yes, good. Brian's back in the fold. He's back working, back got a job. His talent will get him over. Hey, you know what? And here's kind of the simplistic version of this. And Cassio, you may be able to relate or expand on this. They could have brought him back and called him Brian the Barber Beefcake. And guess what? Nobody would have ever drawn an analogy of Jeff Jarrett. That's a new character. They brought back the Real Double J. Wait a minute. Who's the original Double J? You may call it Real or whatever. I'm like, no way they're doing this. No way they're calling him the Real Double J. Because if you have the Real Double J, you have to think of Jeff Jarrett.
Yeah.
I love from a selfish perspective as well.
I get it.
Makes sense. Yeah. Like, yeah, promoted.
I'm still in their head.
Bingo.
They're still talking about me and I'm not there. Still
talking about me. Yes.
Yes. When you guys weren't at the same company, how much did you guys keep in touch?
Pretexting, so I'm not going to say it wasn't a daily thing, but
still close.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, and I say this out of love. That first month or two, it's one of those things that I knew I had a friend for life. As corny as that may sound, that's how we just connected.
You see Dog as a better baby face or a heel?
Well,
that's a big boy question.
At our age today, he's straight. In his prime.
Yeah.
He was so good. He could do either or, but how do you trump ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all in the charisma that he got out of the first 90 seconds in the ring? Most people can't do in an entire career. They just can't.
Charisma for days, man.
It is the it's one of the check boxes of the Attitude Era.
Yes.
That's all you have to say is, ladies and gentlemen, okay.
We're here. I'm in a time and a place.
Same as the glass breaking, same as the Rock first few bars of his music. It's that kind of connotation. It is like when you hear John Cena music, it's kind of, that was, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a big what if, but we're fantasy booking here. We're big what if. And
what if Conrad has irritable bowel syndrome for the next,
I think we have a new bed sheet sponsor coming up. I think it's Conrad's ran through all this.
What about Bounty?
No, he's going to get it. He's going to get an advertiser out of this. You know how this is.
Oh, depends.
You know how he works. Depends. Okay. You said that, not me. Let's talk about this. It's a big what if. And he's talked about it. Hey, drugs severely hurt his career. It could have been a what if game. You never know. But how high could his ceiling have been, either babyface or heel, as a solo act, if he would have had that career longer and maybe didn't trip himself up a couple of times? You think that's it? Or do you think his deal is he is a great, hey, we're, like you said, we're great as a pack. We're a great tag team. Do you think that's his ceiling? Or do you think he could have been?
Now, we're just kind of playing what ifs, armchair.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Perfect scenarios, everything.
Yeah, what I truly believe is that Brian would have, like, you don't think of the WWF title when you think of Randy Savage's name. You think of the Mega Powers. You think of him and Jake. but you don't think of Randy Savage anything other than a main event guy.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the champion, but a main event guy. So I believe Brian would have been maybe not the guy, but a main event guy. But I also believe, and this may be the little curveball, I believe you saw how The Rock went off and did movies, Cena's doing that. I believe Brian could have been that alternative rock star that did both. That his music career to a much bigger audience, much broader audience, and I'm talking about you put the right band and the right marketing, but Brian as a lead singer of the of the right mixture of a group of musicians, I believe he would have been a headline entertainer for years.
You know what the best combo is if you want to maintain and achieve constant deep sleep? It's lowering the core body temperature. That's the perfect ingredients. Jeff, I know you. You've got them on your bed. I've got them on my bed. Chili Sleep, our friends there, they're complete game changers, my friend.
I told this story a couple of weeks ago. Went to week at the beach, and Karen rolled over to me about the third night there, and she said, "You miss your Chili Sleep, don't you?" And I said, "Honey, you ain't kidding." And I looked back at her and I said, "You miss it too." She said, "Yeah, you're so damn hot." Because I son of throughout the night, you're hot over there. But it is a game changer. It's the best deep sleep. I'm going to get out on a limb here, but I said it, best deep sleep I've ever had in my life. And it makes a difference throughout the day. Good restful sleep is a game changer in your energy throughout your life.
Temperature controlled sleep repairs muscle after a hard day's work and improves cognitive function. So you always start your day feeling sharp and alert. And Sleep Me is the new home for Chili Sleep. They're bringing you the same great sleep that Chili Sleep offer, but just under a new name. Sleep Me makes the coldest and most comfortable sleep systems available. They create the environment that meets the body's natural need for lower core temperatures, promoting deeper restorative sleep. Chili Sleep makes the Uller, the Cube, the Doc Pro sleep systems. They're water-based, temperature-controlled mattress toppers that fit over your existing mattress to provide your ideal sleep temperature. I've said it before. It changed me. My wife, Big Booty Judy, she likes it as hot as humanly possible. She's got a blanket at all times, and I just sweat. I'm sweating now recording a podcast, just sitting here. So at night, I like to turn that temperature down. She's got her own side. She controls her own temperature. It has changed our marriage, and we even said our 2023 goal is just what you talked about, Jeff. We're going to buy one for the road.
Wow. How about that?
And we got to save up. We're going to get it because I'm just poor redneck. I ain't Conrad Thompson.
You're so.
Now, look, we're going to get it. We're going to get the new Doc Pro sleep system. It has 2 times more colder power than the other models, which is big for a big boy like me. I mean, I'm covering a lot of space. You're in that one little narrow space. Yeah. This has 5 times more cooling contact for the brand new Doc Pro sleep system. So head over to sleep.me/myworld to learn more and save 25% off the purchase of any new Doc Pro Cube or Uller sleep system. This offer is available exclusively for My World with JJ listeners and only for a limited time. That's sleep.me/myworld to take advantage of our exclusive discounts and wake up refreshed every single day.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Afford Anything talks about how to avoid common pitfalls, how to refine your mental models, and how to think about how to think.
Paula, while certainly you can mess up on $1 million a year, it is far less likely than it is on $30,000 a year.
Right.
I would meet wonderful people that were struggling with a budget that was super tight. It was 100%. You need to make more money.
Make smarter choices and build a better life.
Afford Anything, wherever you listen.
You want to get to some fan questions?
Sure, pal.
Now, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Well, any more stories from your time on the road? As Road Dogg likes to say, he doesn't want to glorify his drug and partying days, but they are a part of his history, and he's got some fun stories out of them. Anything you would like to get out there on the record? Any story come to mind when you think of, hey, we're traveling the roads together, me and old Road Dog?
Will you do me a favor then if I tell this story?
Yeah. What do you want?
Will you get him to tell his version of the story?
Oh, perfect. Yes. Yes. I can't wait. I can't wait.
So I got to figure out who were the participants. I believe.
Okay.
It was Earl Hebner. This is in a, rental van, minivan, my bad. A minivan, okay. Minivan on the road. And we used to fly in and out of Boston a lot. And right there on the coast, there's the only place that really stayed up after hours or after closing time. It's called Kelly's Seafood.
Kelly's Seafood.
They had lobster rolls. Oh, man, make your gum slap, dude. I mean, just great, great food. And a lot of times they call it bar food or not bar food, but after hours. You know, down here in the South, when the sidewalks roll up, clone rad, and they turn the spigots off and the watering hole shut down. Back in BS before sobriety, Cassio, me and you would say, hey, you want to go down to Waffle House?
Correct.
Right?
Yes. The old greasy spoon. Let me find a greasy spoon. Wherever it is.
Up north, we'd got in for a trip, and I don't know where we had been. I think to eat or drink, but we'd been out drinking or whatever it may be. And we need to get us some food. So we're going to go over at Kelly's. Now, up in the north, they have this stuff called snow, and they have snow plows. Anyway, the roads were, it was bad. Lots of snow and ice on the road. So we drove, and it was Earl Hebner and the Godwins.
Oh, God, what a crew.
And me and Brian. And we went over there and got Kelly's. We had been drinking, and Brian had gotten into some dark liquor. And Brian will tell you, he wasn't much of a drinker ever. He just, alcohol was not his deal. I mean, he drinks the beer and drinks some liquor, but that was not his choice. He, you know, but he would do it, I'll call it socially, but he just didn't like it. So, So I was the one who always rented the cars in the crew. I would get off the plane. I'm the one who'd rent the car. So it was my van. But I think one of the Godwins was driving. But anyway, we went and ate. They're giggling and doing the whole deal. And we're on our way back. We get literally lost on this neighborhood and side street. And we're spinning around in this ice and everything. And it's getting woozy. And Henry Godwin's doing probably donuts in this minivan and circling. And anyway, it got completely out of hand. And the next thing you know, old Brian is in not shotgun. He's sitting right behind shotgun. He got sick.
Oh, no.
Oh, and that lobster roll.
Dark liquor and seafood?
Oh, man. Yes. Inside the van.
Like Conrad sick.
Like Conrad sick. Mm. And here it come up. Well, we get back to the hotel, and they used to have a running joke because I used to gag at anything. I don't do so much anymore, but I had a at anything. If I'd see literally just anything on somebody's plate, I'm like, ugh, that looks sick. Or Henry Godwin and Brian would try to, they would laugh at me because they would know, okay, he's about to throw up. Let's try to make him throw up. Those guy things. Well, Brian let up three or four lobster rolls in the middle of the minivan. We get back. They all bail inside. And I'm sitting there. I had a few, but I was completely brought back down to earth because I got to turn this rental car van in 4 hours. And it is reeking. And sure enough, I went to cleaning it up and cleaned it all up and out by the hotel and cleaned it all up. And I have no idea how I did it without me throwing up, but I did all that. And so we get to the airport, the story starts selling, and Brian's like, hey, wait a minute. This just dawned on me. You cleaned up my throw up without throwing up. How the hell did you do that? And he goes, That's true love.
That's why you're over it now. He got you over your gag fear.
Oh my God.
You had to go through hell and back to get there.
Yes, yes. But no, there's all kinds of stories. I've told the one about to Conrad. We got on Kid Rock's bus after Woodstock 99. That was a wild one. We've had
y'all ended up in the wrong town.
Yes, we did. We've had a couple of Orlando stories that were late nights. We've had our fair share. Couple of times back. Anyway, we've had our fair share. I'll just tell the Kelly Seafood, because that was we still chuckle about that in our sobriety days. And, you know, speaking of that, now here's another thing. Nothing. I still believe no such thing as coincidences, only convergences. As we record this, it's Monday, October the 24th.
Correct.
It drops on ad free without your ad reads. But tomorrow morning at 6 a.m., anywhere you can get podcasts, it drops. And obviously our subject is Road Dogg Brian Gerard James, the fourth member of the James Gang. But it's October 25th. And October 25th, 2022, is 5 years of sobriety for Double J. So on the... To the day. So on the fifth anniversary of my sobriety, our topic is Brian James. And it goes without saying, a lot of people were instrumental in me getting sober. Karen at the very top of the list. But Brian, I can't remember if I've told this story, but I'll just do it quickly, Cassio. So I was on my fourth day of a bender, and Karen had called Brian. She had called Bruce to get the wheels in motion because I had kind of casually mentioned, yeah, I'm going to treatment, but nobody believed me. Of course, they're not going to believe somebody who's drinking and all that. I'd stayed consistent to the fact that, yeah, I'm going to go. And then I got sideways again. And for whatever reason, I walked down on my dock and got on the pontoon, and I talked to Brian, and I was down there forever. And it was mainly crying, but some laughing and some serious, but I talked to Brian for over an hour. And I don't remember one thing about the conversation, but I do vividly remember hanging up and walking back up the hill. And Karen will tell you this, from that point on, I was dead serious. Yes, I'm going to Tampa, and yes, I'm getting treatment. So Brian, very instrumental in more ways than he even realizes on my journey. You know, when he had just got sober, I had no idea, but Rinka King, and that's coming, that topic's, it's the Indian series that we did, but we were having to do tryouts, and I had called Brian, and Brian flew to India right not long after he'd got out of treatment. So just our stories, how they weaved in and out through the years. I do believe in so many ways, God blessed me and put Brian in my life. So I am super happy we got to do this today, and we're going to take some fans questions. I know that, but him being the topic on my 5 year anniversary, pretty damn cool, wouldn't you say, Cassio?
That's pretty crazy. But you wouldn't have if Conrad wasn't sick. So, like you said, everything came together.
All things work together for the good who love God, including Conrad's pooping in his pants.
Conrad pooping his pants made the show what it is today. For that's good, right. Bad, or indifferent.
That's the gospel.
One more thing, one more personal question, because he talks about it. If you listen to our pod, and I think, like you said, underrated how good of a teacher he is. And I don't know if a lot of fans realize who he's helped develop and who, I mean, he tells us he had straight up a character developmental class for NXT, and almost everybody in that class is way over now not even just in WWE, but in AEW or anywhere else. Talk about through the years, just seeing his eye, you've mentioned how creative he was, but talk about when you, maybe you realized, or maybe you've seen him of being that teacher. And I think the road dog persona in ring, when you see the guy doing suck it, I don't think you go, well, that guy can be a good teacher. I mean, it just doesn't lend itself to that. Talk about how you see the guy, Brian, your boy Gerard, talk about him teaching people and what you've seen firsthand.
Okay. You know, in a relationship, you got pillow talk, right? And a man and woman, you know, you have that pillow talk that are some kind of like special nuggets that you share with each other. Mm-hmm. I've always looked at our business as curtain talk. There is an element to curtain talk. And what I mean by that is, and I used to say, so for example, we're at go position or gorilla position or whatever you want to say is, and talent is sitting there and watching on this monitor or watching over there where the talent sits or whatever. But there's, we watch the show real time as it's going on, and certain things will happen and this and that. And Brian, I'm saying specifically at TNA, would see different things. And he's like, hey, what about if this talent did this, this, and this in that order? Just a creative suggestion. And many times back in the day, I'd say, Brian, you don't have to tell me, tell them. Did you tell them? Oh, I didn't want to. Yeah, no, you tell them. I think Brian has an uncanny ability. And I would be pretty, you know, a couple of weeks ago, they said he is in charge at Raw, and you know, but Brian having the ability to see the complete canvas, I think is his greatest gift today. I'm saying behind the camera, is that take a step back, and whether it's when the guy walks out or how the guy walks out in his entrance, how he hits his finish, how he gets his hand raised, how he does certain moves, sequence of moves, just all the artistic creative ability. Brian is a master at curtain talk. He literally can watch something and make little minor adjustments that mean everything. I mean, at Ric Flair's last match, and I think me and Conrad joked about this, but I had no idea. There was a unique kind of pressure going on to that because of, I don't say Ric's health because it sounds like, but it's his last match. I mean, it's Ric Flair and the elements of that and the four of us, you know, it's, in this day and age, you get to have matches with guys and get groove. I hadn't been in the ring since 6 months prior to that. And Jay Lethal and Andrade were regularly at the time in AEW, and Rick certainly hadn't worked. So putting together all that match, I didn't know what to expect, but I also knew the undercard was off the charts, not just good, great. And I think some people know this, when all that went down prior to me being inserted into Rick's match, I was essentially going to be executive producer. And when the domino fell that, I just called Conrad and I said, man, Brian, there was no two way. Brian needs to take that role, and he's great at it and all this. But real time during the match, I went to Brian probably more than he wanted me to. I just wanted to get him to talk. Brian, how's it going? What are they doing? What are they buying? I wanted him. I didn't want to ask him a specific question. I wanted to tee it up and let him guide the conversation, because he hears things that a lot of people, you talk about musicians having great ears. Brian has a phenomenal ear for the industry. So I'd say, how's it going? And Brian's like, Jeff, they're selling. This is what they're buying. This is what they're doing. This, I mean, he's just great in that nature. I don't think he will ever get the credit that he deserves, because you have to know the industry so well to see his ROI.
Well, there's a party coming up in Nashville, Jeff. Isn't that where you're at? You're in the Nashville area?
Andersonville, Tennessee.
There's a party in Nashville, and everyone listening or viewing is invited. Nashville's first of its kind live event is coming to Woolworth Theater. And believe me, you hadn't seen anything like this before. Shiners is the hottest new show in Nashville that blends Cirque, Broadway, and comedy into one electrifying production. Located in downtown Nashville at the brand new Woolworth Theater, Shiners has a star-studded cast featuring Chuck Wicks and Laura Osnes, along with the most mind-blowing talent from the Cirque world. You can catch a live Shiners performance at Woolworth Theater on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday nights. General admission and VIP tickets are on sale now at ShinersNashville.com. or bring your whole crew and watch the show from your own VIP box. Enjoy some delicious signature cocktails and ice cold beer while you watch the show. You won't want to miss this if you live in or near Nashville or are headed there soon for fun. Get your tickets today for Shiners at ShinersNashville.com. Have you had a chance to see this yet, Jeff?
I have not, but Nashville is booming. And I was last week, Fox Sports was in town, the Waltrip Brothers event. Hey, I got to see Keith Urban do an acoustic set. Well, it was awesome. But anyway, I was talking to a guy at dinner, and he comes to Nashville once a year, but every year. And when's the last time you've been to Nashville, Castillo? StarCast, probably, right?
Or probably, anyway, yeah.
It's, I mean, but you're close enough. There are more new restaurants. We're getting the dome too, brother.
Incredible.
Tighten up. Super Bowl, WrestleMania. Here we go. No, Nashville, it's kind of crazy, but I have heard nothing. You asked me the specific question. I've heard nothing but like incredible reviews on the night you have when you head on over to Woolworth.
And they want the MyPod listeners to come check it out. They're inviting us all up.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Sounds like a party to me. You know what else we should do? Let's do some fan questions before we get out of here, because
long-winded.
As soon as we announced we were going to do this, questions came rolling in. They are excited for this. So here we go. Ian Drew. I'm not going to say his name. Poop your pants, crazy.
Here we go.
Play. I know. I thought I had one in me. I got two. I'm sorry. You get me away from Road Dog for 1 second. He said, I heard from someone in WWF at the time that when Jeff Jarrett went out for his match with China at No Mercy 99, Road Dog was sitting over Jeff's bag like a rabid animal, just waiting for someone to try and mess with it. Is this true? You touched on it, but what a big night for both. The fact that everyone is still talking about it this many years later is incredible.
And I won't get long-winded because I could on this, but Brian was not, he was red hot in DX. So me and him worked together on screen, but off screen, we rode together every night, best of friends. He wasn't happy with how the negotiations went. He knew intricately Vince was out traveling the world. Brian specifically was not real happy with Jim Ross, and probably too hard on JR. Yeah, no, not probably. Yes. Too hard on JR. So he was on edge that day in so many ways. He knew that this was my last night. He also knew that his blood pressure was up and that he would love to knock somebody's head off just to release some aggression, but he didn't know how anybody else felt, but that Brian and the brothers, and they get it from their father, loyalty. I will never say it to a fault, but extreme loyalty. And he let it be known, in his opinion, I was getting screwed, and he wasn't happy about it, and that Jeff was his friend. And if anybody crosses Jeff, they're crossing him, and he has no problem dropping them. I mean, that's how he felt. And you know, I love him for a lot of reasons, but Brian wears his emotions on his sleeve. And that is, Dice Man, that is a true story.
Ted Hill, the Hillbilly Hill.
Okay.
Says, how do you think the Double J and Roadie characters hold up in time versus other characters in your career? Thanks. Love the show, he says.
What's bizarre is, and I've had a couple of folks say, hey, how long would you think me and Brian were together? And people will say, oh, God. Well,
Years.
We were on screen 6 months together.
That's insane.
You would never think that.
No.
But yeah.
Everyone associates y'all two together.
And I do believe that the sum 1 + 1 didn't equal 2 in our case. And I'm very grateful for it.
Brandon LeMay, he tweeted us at My World Pod at Real Jeff Jarrett. He says, now that RD James is back at WWE, can we get the original Jeff Jarrett theme released, please?
The original, I'm not sure, you're talking about the slow twangy. That may be my Cody likes that theme, the old Double J theme.
Yeah.
I said, Cody, that's the single worst piece of music that I've ever heard in my life. And he said, Dad, what are you talking about? So I don't know if they're referencing that, but I hope they don't release it.
You hope they don't. At WWE Master 2018 tweets into at My World Pod. Whose laugh is more contagious, Cassio, Conrad, or Road Dog?
Oh, mercy.
I told Conrad Thompson to his face, I said, one of my biggest joys in life is if I can make Conrad do that big belly laugh. I mean, it's a good feeling because he's, you know, he's always trying to get the laugh, which is, and he's hilarious. I did not know how much I wanted to see a Road Dog laugh until I see him kick his head back and get that big laugh going. I'm like, ooh, I got a new one to the list. If I can pop Road Dog, that's a good deal. And people hate my laugh.
No.
Yeah, people hate my laugh.
No, they don't. I love a good laugh.
Conrad or Road Dog?
Ooh, man. Got to go with Brian. I let me just tell you why. What? Because Karen's referenced that too. She's like, you've got a spouse. They can kind of, when we're on business calls or we're on calls, they can kind of tell our tone, you know? Yeah. So we did an autograph session up in Indianapolis last April. And that was the first time that I'll say me and Brian and Karen was around, hung out for an extended period of time. And she literally had a quiet moment. I'm trying to get serious here. You're just credit from ear to ear. But she's like, do you understand how much Brian makes you happy? And I said, she goes, no, I'm your wife. You haven't laughed this much. And I don't know when. You're always serious. You're always business. But what? And she went out and told Brian that. Brian has an infectious personality.
Yes.
That is, you know, but I've often said, I think that comes, we didn't articulate it back in the day, but Brian has been through some shit in his life. So he has a point of reference and he has a point of gratitude that, hey man, we may be having a bad day today. And maybe in his case, I'm not in a foxhole in the desert.
Yeah.
Things aren't that bad. Just, you know, different things like that. Perspective.
He says it all the time. At the end of the day, it's just wrestling.
Yes.
And I know it seems bigger than it is, but and his point being, I got grandkids, I got family. I've, like you said, I've been in a foxhole. He's had his ups and downs. At the end of the day, it's all just make-believe wrestling, and we can get through that. Whatever that problem is, we can get through that.
And I tell Conrad, I am blessed that I get to view the business. Although I love it, I never believe that I've really had a job, but it is a business. That's my perspective. Oh, hey, that was a great 5-star, 23, blah, 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 but it only got rated 4-star. I'm like, I've never thought in those numbers. It's how much money did it make or didn't make?
Yeah.
The equation of business, not star rating.
Ken Brzezinski says, he's at Promographic Ken. He says, would Jeff rather give Cassio the stroke, put him in the figure four, or give him the old El Kabong?
You know that. You've got a guitar shot coming. It's just seriously, you moved when I slapped your jaws. You literally moved.
Oh, buddy, I didn't move. I took that stiff, boy.
Oh, crap. You moved.
We'll have to find the footage. I did not
find move. Find the footage. You screwed up. And
then you slapped early.
Oh, bullshit. Then on the guitar shot at Top Guy weekend, you cried and complained. And I heard you brought Conrad a big bottle of liquor and said, please, I don't want to take this guitar shot. And Conrad goes, I don't know what to do. And Corey, he volunteered and he stepped up and he took the guitar shot, but he screwed up too. He moved.
Can I tell you?
You comedians are a bunch of wimps.
I've never seen Conrad so concerned for his friend's health as when the possibility of you hitting somebody with a guitar was brought up. He was legit concerned for safety because he said, hey, Jeff's going to hit you with a guitar. And he's like, yeah, yeah. And then he goes, no, no, he's going to hit you full blast with a guitar.
You see the film? He got out of the way at Top Guy weekend. I have watched that with Karen. And I said, you've seen it 2 or 3 times. This time I'm going to push play. Just watch Conrad. Don't watch anybody else. When I came on stage, Conrad literally did a hurricanrana. He got a 5-star stage exit. I gave him 5 stars for that stage exit. I've never seen him move so fast. Maybe today he's moving faster going to the toilet. But on that stage, it was a 5-star stage exit. Meltzer, matter of fact, texted me and said, I just rated my first ever stage exit. Conrad Thompson got 5 stars.
I heard it was up for exit of the year.
Oh, he was for sure. For sure.
Next year's awards. Hey, after Corey took it, I was like, I'm good. Because I know the slap was stiff. I don't want the guitar.
Yes, you do.
What's worse, a slap or guitar?
A slap. Guitar.
Is it?
Depends.
And you hit hard. And by the way, your wife hit real hard.
But neither one of us got you in the ear. That's when there's trouble.
No, she got closer to ear, but I would have went out if she would have hit the ear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, ear's bad news. That's a target. That's a weak spot. You go down.
A guitar can draw blood quickly if it's a little off kilter.
Well, I think that's the cool part. If you can live to tell the story, Corey was split open bleeding. I mean, he was like, dude, take pictures. Take pictures of my cut. I'm using this for the lawsuit.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to show for a slap in the face. But, hey, before we get out of here, too, we've got a few more questions. But let's just take the time right now. We've given Conrad some shit. Let's let him tell people how they can save some money. At least let him get a little plug in. Let's go a little save with Conrad right here. Boom.
NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Woo!
The 5-star reviews are in and it's confirmed. SaveWithConrad.com can save you thousands. Jimmy E writes that we saved his family more than $1,000 a month. James S says we saved his family more than $1,200 a month. But how much can you save? It's free to find out right now at SaveWithConrad.com. But if you've got a second mortgage, if you've got credit card debt, or even worse, if you're in a 30-year loan, it's not a matter of if we can save you money, but a matter of how much at SaveWithConrad.com.
At 210 Kimbo, James says, is Conrad really sick or is he still reeling from that beatdown in Knoxville?
Roll Tide.
I had to get that in. You mentioned it earlier, but we had to make sure he got it in. James Grunberg, he says, at real Jeff Jarrett at My World Pod. Did Jeff try to become a wannabe member of DX as well by playing up his real friendship with Road Dogg?
I wish Conrad was actually, he would have crafted that in it's the running joke. No, I'm trying to think of something too.
What is it?
Oh, because Conrad will always say, oh, you were in the click, you were in the Four Horsemen.
I should have said you were in the DX.
You know, of course I was an honorary member of DX. Because Sean Waltman shaved my hair. And when you lose your hair in a hair versus hair match, specifically in Madison Square Garden, I was inducted in to be an honorary member of DX.
Just because you got your head shaved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Was that ever floated?
Hell no. I was the anti-attitude era talent.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. Justin Reed, he talked to us on adfreeshows.com. Is the Double J and the Roadie pairing the first big example in the WWF of two legacies from well-known wrestling families being paired together?
Probably not. I mean, historians out there, and I'm sure some people will jump on this. That's probably a pretty good question.
Had to be early, if not, right, though?
Yeah, early, yeah. I mean, that's probably a pretty good little research. I mean,
it's like we talked about, there was territories, and this is, you guys are now where they're all combined. So maybe on the biggest scale, maybe.
Yeah.
I'm sure some of the territories had families that were, you know,
oh, I got feuding for years. What? A trivia question.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
My World Lesson. Answer that for us on social.
And you guys have both talked about it in your TNA episodes, but Justin also says, were there any thoughts about reuniting Jeff and Road Dogg in TNA?
I mean, just because you can't put lightning in a bottle because Brian entered once he became Road Dogg, he was never going to be anybody's second.
Right.
The magic of the Double J and Roadie was he was my second, but so super talented and all the story that came out and everything. So, but you know, I've always enjoyed, we went over to Australia and that's for another episode. We had matches in Australia. Me and Brian have hooked up a lot of times. And we always, I think in the ring brought out the best in each other because we trusted each other so much too.
Scott Golden on Ad Free Shows. He said, first of all, Jeff, thanks. Thanks to you. I'm a New Englander who loves Southern wrestling more than any other style. He says, how do you think a long style program with yourself and Road Dogg might have worked out in the CWA USWA days if Dogg had started his career a few years earlier?
Great. He's a storyteller. And yeah. And he has a lot of tentacles as far as he could have brought a brother in. He could have brought his father in. Same with me. I had my father, my grandfather. Just there's a lot of roots in for both of us in the territory days. There's so many different twists and turns, you know, well, that Tales of the Territory, they were talking about the different storylines. And one story that I don't think really got out in the Tales of the Territory is my dad and Jerry Lawler wrestled each other 50 or 46 of 52 times in one calendar year. Bill Dundee and Jerry Lawler wrestled each other, I think in the 30s out of 52. So it's that weekly episodic storytelling, me and Brian, without question, because I think we both could have been baby faces at times, baby face against baby face against heel, and both of us could have flip-flopped either way. So lots of stories could have been told.
That's the challenge of that weekly deal, is how do we keep them interested in the same match, basically, and that's where the story comes in. Sean Daniels says, praying you feel better soon, Conrad. Jeff, you and Road Dogg are now both men of faith and have overcame a lot. How has this made your bond even stronger with one another?
Much more clarity in our conversations, much more peace. Not that we were never at odds between us. It was the world. And now we just look at each other and when we talk and catch up, hey, how's this guy doing? Hey, I need to reach out to him. Or I just reached out with this guy, helping other folks. Cause again, the gift of desperation that both of us totally realize, you know, when you're in the depths of addiction and, you know, there's three results if you don't get sober: death, jails, or institutions. When you both have an alignment in that and know that I don't want to go back to that and I want to help others get out of that, that took our relationship and him helping me. I mean, but the sobriety brothers, if you will, not stepbrothers, sobriety brothers. But the sobriety brothers, if you will, took our relationship to another level that we know in order to stay sober, we got to give it away. But also the business has really, really blessed us, our families, me three generation, him two generations. So how do we give back to the industry? I mean, it's I'm so damn happy for him in his current role, because if he's around a production, he will make it better. And I think that's what the industry needs in so many ways.
Last couple here. Coach Rosie tweets us at Real Jeff Jarrett, at hey, it's Conrad, at My World Pod, at The Casio Kid. What quality about the Road Dogg do you admire the most? You and Brian are role models of perseverance for me, he says.
What quality? That's what
Coach. Yeah. What quality about Road Dogg do you admire the most?
I'm trying to figure if I got to say one.
It's a lot to narrow down a whole.
Yeah.
Many decades for your friendship.
He's real.
I was going to say honest. I was going to say, I feel like he's an honest guy.
Unfiltered.
Yeah.
Super loyalty through everything. And sometimes I've been maybe not the most popular guy in the room. Brian's always had my back. Always.
Last but not least, Brian at Brian R.D. James.
Oh, get out of here.
Left us a message and says a couple things. Trivia. What movie did you watch 25 times a night in the hotel room? You know?
Dumb and Dumber.
Close.
And Tommy Boy.
Tommy Boy.
Yeah, we watched both of them.
1 million times.
Luke. Brian could quote everything. Both of them. Both movies. We would go in the hotel no matter where. Like you check, you land in the airport, say 10 or 11 o'clock. Go straight to the room and, you know, okay, so we're going to work out, tan, train, or whatever. And sometimes Brian skipped tanning and training. He just ate. he would go in, get the remote, turn it on, and then buy. He literally would buy one of those two movies for days on end. You can watch it and repeat. Yeah. The old Tommy Boy. That's, they're called doctors. And there's line after line after line after line.
The last question Mr. Brian R.D. James has, he wanted to see if you'd bring it up, but you did not.
Uh-oh.
You've called him Gerard. You've called him Turkey Tail. He said, why have you not asked, told everybody what his nickname for you is?
Oh, my gosh, I'm having a...
I don't know if it's like every day, like he don't walk up to you and call you this. It's just a nickname that you will know. Now I could either tell you the nickname and you tell the story, or I could tell the why he gave you the nickname and you tell everybody the nickname. What do you think?
If you feel comfortable telling the story that I,
it's not dirty.
No, that's fine. No, it's what I,
he said, you put so much of this on in the room, it looked like a kilo blew up. He said he called you powder puss for all the baby powder.
Powder balls, powder puss, yes. So back in the day, traveling and in and out of, here's the day. I land, go work out, all this. And so lots of sweat. You just talked about sweat. I used to, cornstarch baby powder was one of my best friends. Always used to make powder up. And he'd look at me like, what the hell? Come on, powder puss, get dressed. Cause I would be the last one dressed in the room. The jarhead Marine is,
ready to go
and pack backpack zip. I mean, he's ready to walk out the door and I'm still in the shower and he's like, dude, come on. And I'm like, oh, hold on. Blah, blah. And then, yeah. He would laugh like, what are you doing, powder puss?
We should have called this show Turkey Tales with Powder Puss. That's what we should have called it. Buddy, it has been it's been super fun to talk to you about our buddy Road Dog, Jesse James, Brian James, Armstrong, whatever you want to call him. He is one of a kind, my friend.
And you make it, buddy.
Thank you for letting me fill in. Thank you for letting me fill in. If you are tuning in because you want to hear a part about Dixie Carter, that's bumped to next week. It is not getting lost next week, Jeff. You and Conrad hit part one, and it's going to be a part one because y'all can talk about Dixie for a long time.
There's going to be stories that have never been told. There's going to be stories that will surprise some folks. And then there's going to be a unique set point, if you will, that me and Conrad have talked about that we both have. On kind of the what if.
I'm excited because just times being around when me, you, and Conrad are in the room together somewhere, not forced, just organically, at some point, he asks you a question about Dixie.
Yep.
And it is that prevalent. So I can't wait for it to all be finally put into the ether. Everybody can experience it. You can check that out. Also, before we get out of here, over at adfreeshows.com, you can find the WCW World title. Was featured on Title Chase with renowned belt guy Dave Milliken. Eric Bischoff and myself spoke with Raven after a recent 83 Weeks episode covering their past. And Jeff, you and Karen just talked about some of your memories from AAA. How fun was that?
A blast. It is the uniqueness. And I've said it since I came on board last April and May. When you drill down on ad-free shows, and I do personal appearances all around the world, I've been in the business 36 years running. People want access. They want early. They want this. They want that. Had Conrad, and if he wouldn't, still a fan. He's a true fan. So he knows what a fan wants. It is by far the best value in professional wrestling today. And I don't say that because I'm a part of the member. I said that before I got on board. I could not believe he delivers this stuff every month. So,
plus coming up, you can be a part of Jake Roberts watching Halloween Havoc 1992 just in time for Halloween. And he'll take your questions if you're a top guy all over at adfreeshows.com. Also, Conrad launched the book with David Manning. It's covering world class from his dad's booking sheets. Have you heard about this, Jeff? Incredible.
That's what I'm saying. If you are a fan, specifically a nostalgia, but you don't even have to be that. The stuff that is uncovered, my dad's sit down interview, there was stuff that I learned there. That he's my old man. But anyway,
they have the actual booking sheets from January 1982. And next week, they're launching Making the Town, which is another concept you do not want to miss. Remember, you get all these shows early and ad-free. Like Jeff said, the best value in the business for as low as $9. Before you get out of here, wherever you're consuming it, like, subscribe, leave a 5-star rating on all platforms. If you're on Twitter, follow us at Real Jeff Jarrett, at The Casio Kid, at My World Pod. It's all things podcast here. If you're watching us on YouTube, you got two handsome studs. I upgraded the looks in this. I look better than Conrad on camera.
Damn right you do.
If you're watching on YouTube, like, subscribe. Be sure to turn on those notifications at youtube.com/myworldwithjeffjarrett. Jeff, thanks for letting me pinch hit, man. It's been a fun time. I will take a guitar shot over a figure four. I don't like getting in the floor. It takes a long time for me to get up. So I'll take a stroke anytime. There you go. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching for Mr. The Hall of Famer.
Casio, I could not thank you enough. Tell Judy hello. Go on over to G's, get you some fried chicken, and have a great afternoon, pal.
Tell Karen, please don't slap me.
Peace.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith, right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those weekend golf guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.